Shmini, Tavshinayin Zayin. So let's take a look there in Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin. Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin. It says, Vayom Moshe El Aaron. My Moshe told Aaron, Krav El Mizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach. Vaseh Eschat Vascha Ves Olosechon. Chatos, this is the eighth day of the Miluim, the eighth day of the inaugural process of Aaron's investiture, because I guess, yeah, he's now being inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol. This is the eighth day. So for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu has been serving as a Kohen. Now the eighth day, Aaron's going to bring special korbanos, etc., and now he's going to be the Kohen Gadol, his children are going to be Kohanim, etc. It says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Krav el Mizbeach, Vaseyes Chatoscho, Vesolosech, Vechaper Ba'adcho, Ve'ad Ha'om, Vaseyes Korban Ha'om, Vechaper Ba'adam, Kasher Tzivo Hashem. Come close to the Mizbeach. So that's an unnecessary phrase. Just say, Vaseyes Chatoscho, do your Chatos, and do your Ola, and be Mechaper, and cleanse for your sake, for the sake of the people, cleanse yourself, and the people, and do the korban of the Am. Now that itself is in his own discussion. In other words, he just said that part of his cleansing is also going to cleanse the Am. My note, it says, Aseyes chat hascha ves olosecha, v'chaper ba'adcha uva'ad ha'am. In other words, just your korbanos alone are going to help be mechaper for the Am. Right? That's what it appears. Aseyes korban ha'am v'chaper ba'adam. And do their korban, which will uniquely be mechaper for them. Okay, so we're talking here about a unique relationship between Aaron and the Jewish people. In other words, it's not just he's cleansing himself and he's cleansing the people, but even when he cleanses himself, it's part of the cleansing of the Jewish people. Because note, even in his korbanos, it says being mechaper for himself and being mechaper for the Am. Now, I guess there's probably a way at least to understand it, but okay, let's just take note of that. Kasher tzivah Hashem, as Hashem commanded. So Rashi says over there, Krav el Mizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach. Says Rashi in the name of the Torah, Kanim, the Medrash, Haya Aaron Bosh. Aaron was embarrassed. He was embarrassed to come close to the Mizbeach. Vayira, or Vayore Legeshes. He was afraid to come close to the Mizbeach. Amalo Moshe, Lama Atabosh. Why was he embarrassed?
Was he afraid? Was he embarrassed?
It's both are true. Right? Who am I? Right? He was afraid to because he knew of his involvement, so to speak, in the Cheta Egel. Right? And that was catastrophic. And so he's, you know, like, who am I to do this? Who am I to come close? Who am I to whatever? So Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, Amalo Moshe, Lama Tabosh Lechach Nivcharta. Why are you embarrassed? It's for this purpose that you were chosen. You were chosen for this. And as Moshe Rabbeinu is assuring Aaron, he's assuring Aaron. Later on, after he brings the Korbanos, I know, go to Pasuk Chav Beis, all in the same parak. Vayisa Aaron es Yadav. Aaron raised up his hands. Right, it says Yado, but we call it the Kri is Yadov. Right, the Ksiv is Yado. The right hand is always higher. The right hand of Chesed. Right hand is always higher. No, left is usually associated with Din. Usually, left is Din. Right. But in any event, as El Am, Vayevarchem, Vayered Me'asos, Achatos, Va'ola, Vashlamim. So the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk is that Aaron raised up his hands to the Am, and he gave them a bracha while he's still on the Mizbeach. Vayered me'asos ha'chatos va'olah v'ashlamim. And then he came down after having done the chatas, the olah, and the shlamim. So it would appear that he gave the bracha while he was on the Mizbeach. Okay? This actually is a point of discussion, some machlokas. Some of Farshim say that's true.
He got the bracha or he gave
it? Gave the bracha. Vayisa Aaron es Yodav. He raised up his hand. He gave him, Rashi says he gave him Berachas Kohanim, which is also a discussion. What bracha he gave him? Let's go with Rashi. Rashi says he gave him Berachas Kohanim. Yivrecha, Yair, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. Right?
Bracha to all Yom.
to Olam, right. So the question is, the Pashup shot is that he gave him Birchas Kohanim, well, he gave him some bracha. Again, we're going with Rashi. Rashi says he gave him Birchas Kohanim. And, yeah, and what? And, where did he give it to him? So the Pashup shot says he gave it to him while he was standing on the Mizbeach. I mean, that's the translation. I mean, he gave it to him, then he said it came down. Right?
This is before he gave the korbanos or after?
This is when he's given all the korbanos.
He already gave all the korbanos.
Right, he slaughtered them, he put them on top of the Mizbeach, right?
They're burning away.
No, well, that's a discussion also. Is there fire there yet or not? Mm. Is there fire there yet or not? According to Rosh Ram, there's no fire there yet. According to other Mefarshim, there is fire.
But Moshe was burning all week. There
had
to be fire.
I understand. The question is this what Aaron was supposed to be doing now or not? Is he supposed to be setting fire, or are we waiting for the Shemayim fire to come from Shemayim?
No, but the fire was there from Shemayim already, from Moshe.
You don't know that the fire came down from Shemayim, because it doesn't appear that way, because it appears that they didn't see Hashras HaShechina the whole 7 days, as we'll see soon. So Chor Moshe, you had to.
They didn't see the Shechina for 8 days prior to this.
The seven days prior to this, they didn't see Gilui Shechina in the what they call it. Moshe Rabbeinu went through the motions, but they didn't see any Gilui Shechina. So in any event, was he still standing in Mizbeach or not? So that's the discussion. Again, the different Mefarshim say different things. Like I said, there's discussion over here, what bracha he gave them. Did he give them Birchas Kohanim? Right? Or is Mispal, like Shlomo Melech was Mispal, the Tot Shemayim, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should, give everything to, bless the Jewish people. It's a discussion. Okay. That's one thing. And then there's a discussion, where did the bracha take place? While he was standing in the Mizbeach, or after he came down? Again, in the Pasuk itself, it appears they gave the bracha while he was still on the Mizbeach, because then it only says afterwards, Vayered, Me'asos Achatos, Va'ola Vashlam. And again, the Mefarshim differ over this. Look at the Or HaChaim there. The Or HaChaim says, V'tzorach Hadas, the Or HaChaim is of the opinion that he came down after finishing his korbanos, and then he gave them a bracha.
He gave the bracha to the people off in this when he wasn't on the Mizbeach.
Right, after you already come down. Yeah, but the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says... the place of the Mizbeach is really not a place of bracha.
Wasn't there a platform?
Right, a duchan, right, b'diyuk. Right. There are tons of questions because Lamaisa, it would appear that Birchas Kohanim, if he gave them Birchas Kohanim, they only got that, it would appear, in Sefer Bamidbar, right? In Parshas Naso. They're talking about Birchas Kohanim.
Well, yeah, first time it happened.
Right, so did it mean that Aaron got it over here? It doesn't appear that way. It appears he got it in Parshas Naso, plus also, if he'd gotten it today, so that would have been listed as one of the great things that transpired on this day. I mean, the Medrash talks about all the wonderful things the Jewish people were zocha to on this day. If Birchas Kohanim were one of them, so it should have listed. It never doesn't list it. It could be that it came to him Beruach HaKodesh. He said it on his own. It's a possibility, right? That he said it on his own Beruach HaKodesh, and then later on, HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a tzivui, which became part of the priestly job description for him and for his children. But here he may have said it in his own Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, these are all the discussions. Anyway, the Or HaChaim is of the opinion that he came down and then he was mevarach them, and he says, "V'tzarach l'das lam yedaber akosu b'derech zevel b'derech hayasher." He's of the opinion that he came down and then he made the brikwa and then he gave him the bracha, but he says, but why did he write it in a fashion that appears the opposite? Let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am vayivarchem." He blessed them. You see that pasuk chavbeis? You see it pasuk chavbeis? Right. He raised his hands up. He gave him the bracha. Vayivarchem. Vayyered masos achatas va'olav ashlamim. And then he came down. So if in fact, as the Or HaChaim suggests, that the bracha was given only after he came down, why is the pasuk right out of order? So he says, "V'tzorach l'adas, lam yedaber akosu b'derech zeh, v'lo b'derech hayashar." Why doesn't it write it straight? He came down and then gave him a bracha. Why write it the other way around? V'ulai kibir os Aaron shelo yarda shechina. Once again, when Aaron saw it, as he brought the, he did all the actions necessary for the korbanos. Shelo yarda shechina, and the shechina didn't come down. They didn't see Hashem's presence revealed yet. Choshav, he thought to himself, ulai ki adain choser kaparasa or maisa egel. He thought to himself, perhaps there's still need further cleansing from the cheta egel. That through his action, through his involvement, he brought a whammy upon the Jewish people. Right? See, so maybe that's the problem over here. In other words, according to the Rechaim HaKadosh, he came down first and then he gave him the bracha. But the reason it's written as though he came down afterwards is because this was, as it were, an addendum onto the chatas korban to cleanse them. That's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. How was the bracha of Birchas Kohanim? How was the bracha? Right? How was that an addendum on cleansing them? It's two different things. How's an addendum on cleansing them? So, what? I understand, but it's two different things. I mean, what do you call it, you know? That's one question.
Who would say that the bracha was actually a korah?
Because he says, that's what the Or Chaim HaKadosh says. He says, he thought, ulai kibir os Aaron, perhaps explaining the psukim here. When Aaron saw shelo yarda shechina, when he saw the shechina didn't come down, choshav, he thought to himself, ulai ki adain choser kaparasa maisa egel, perhaps there still is something missing in terms of the cleansing of the egel, the cheta egel.
He saw the shechina.
No, they didn't see the shechina yet. That was the whole point. He didn't see the shechina yet. That's why he thought something was kakat. Shebeemtzeuso hevi klala al soni Yisrael. That through his actions, through his, as his being an intermediary, he brought a klala al soni Yisrael, the enemies of the Jewish people. Really means the Jewish people. That's a euphemism.
When did he see the shechina?
We haven't gotten to that yet. He hasn't seen it yet.
So he did the korbanos, he wrenched the people.
Right, because he
seen the shechina, and now he's worried that Hashem is still holding.
You see, the reason he benched the people was because he felt that perhaps they hadn't properly been cleansed from whatever was, what do you call, whatever was the, you know, for the cheta egel. But the question is how does giving them a bracha have to do with cleansing them? That's why it says that he raised his hands, he gave them a bracha. And that way, then metaphorically, as it were, in chronologically, he already came down from the Mizveach, but metaphorically, he is now coming down from involving himself in the process of chatas, of cleansing them. But that begs the question, how does the bracha, right, how does bracha that he gave them, what does that have to do with the chatas? Chatas is cleansing, bracha is bracha. So I want to suggest something, right, you see the Gemara underneath, right? See the Gemara underneath. It says, yeah, the Gemara in Brachas says as follows. I'm Rav Lazar. Right? The Gemara there tells the story of Chana, right? The mother of Shmuel. And we know in the Navi that Eli, the Kohen at that time, suspected her of being drunk. Right? Then when it becomes clear that she wasn't drunk, so among the things that he does, he gives her a bracha. Gives her a bracha. Yeah? So the Gemara says over there, Amar Belazer, Mikam lechoshed is chavero bedavar, she'en bo tzorech, ain bo, that is she'en bo. And as I am choshed you, yeah, I suspect you of committing some really outlandish crime. Yeah? No, that's not suspicion, I know that. What do you call it? Let's say a person suspects you of like some really totally outlandish crime. Yeah, we won't, you know. Even though I'm tired, I won't allow my imagination. Okay. Right, I'm thank you. Okay? Some totally outlandish crime. Outlandish crime. And of course it's not true. I have to give you a bracha afterwards. not only do I have to appease you, I have to give you a bracha. Shetzorach levarko shenemar veloke Yisrael yitain es sheilaseich.
Where is that brought down?
That's a pasuk in Shmuel that Eli said to Chana, and the Gemara of Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, right? The Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, is saying this drash on, he's learning from this, that whenever you suspect somebody of something which is like totally outlandish, it's not enough just to appease them afterwards. You have to give them a bracha.
To say you were sorry that you accused them, but rather you have to go beyond that.
Beyond that, right. Right. It's not enough to apologize and to appease them, you have to give them a bracha. So Rav Kook says, why? Because once you've broken, when a person sees that he's been suspected of something totally ridiculous, his self-concept is destroyed.
He gets angry.
No, you said one thing, I said another thing.
Right,
you said angry, what do you call it? That's your issue. What do you call it? That's your issue. What do you call it? I said his self-concept is destroyed. Both of these things can be true, but we're not dealing with the anger right now. We're dealing with the self-concept being destroyed, because we call... The truth is, we know that there are two reactions when two people are are accused of something, or they do something, or something goes kaflui. Actually, this to a certain degree, this is sort of the hub of our discussion here. We'll see, right? The one reaction is as you said before, the hell with you. Right, you say that about me? You should take the longest walk off the shortest pier available into the mouth of the waiting mouth of the largest white shark, right? That's one reaction that people have. The other reaction is what he called, is oftentimes is like, oi, I've been suspected of that. Oi, I'm not worthy. Right, and that's why they suspected me of this. Right, a person sees it as a deficiency in themselves. Again, I'm not saying that necessarily is that a person should allow his self-concept to be broken so easily, but the fact is that probably is closer to what's healthier, right? It shows the person is more of a humble person, right? Right? Sort of more of a humble person, right? But I understand you completely because, right? I understand you completely. Okay. Somebody called, but here? So you have to give him a bracha. So I'm suggesting that's what's taking place over here also. Aaron's first concern is that the Shekhinah should be revealed to the Jewish people here. So initially, his first thing, he doesn't even want to do it because he thinks he's not worthy. And the fact is, the Or Chaim says in his second shot on this pasuk by Yair that he went down, right? Because when he didn't see the Shekhinah revealed, he went down because, nope, there's a fulfillment of my non-worthiness. But in the first shot that the Or Chaim is saying, the Yerida is said after the bracha. Why? Because he wants to imply that this is part of the chatas, because Aaron's concern over here, just as Aaron is on the one hand is thinking, you know, maybe it's my deficiency. On the other hand, maybe it's not the deficiency of the Jewish people, but maybe because they don't see themselves as worthy. Maybe they're not worthy for the Shekhinah. Maybe the Shekhinah is not resting on them because they don't see themselves as worthy of receiving the Shekhinah. So therefore, I have to give them a bracha. You hear? In other words, when a person's spirits are low, you gotta give him a bracha, you gotta shore up his spirits. So we're beginning to get a picture over here, about how Aaron is working here. This is Jewish leadership. Huh? On the one hand, he's totally concerned with raising up the spirits of those who were his Talmidim, in this case the Jewish people, yeah? On the other hand, any deficiency that's there, yeah, he attributes to himself. Nachon? He attributes himself as opposed to it's somebody else's fault. This is a big lesson in mitos. This whole thing over here. Nachon? Nachon.
Very interesting.
Right? Keep on going. It says, Vayavar Moshe v'Aaron el Ol Moed, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayavar Moshe v'Aaron el Ol Moed, Vayetzu v'Yavarchu es Am. Then what happened? We know that Aaron came down, still no Gilui Shechina. And so what happens is he comes to Moshe, we'll see in just a moment, Rashi will bring it down for us. He comes to Moshe, he says, Oyvei, Moshe, right? It's my fault. That's why the Shechina is not being revealed. I should never have done this. And this is what I thought originally. I was embarrassed and afraid to come to do this job. I was right. I'm not worthy. That's why there's no Shechina. Vayom Moshe Aaron, says Rashi, Lama Nichnasu? They went into the Ol Moed to Davin. So Rashi says, Nichnasu Matzati B'Parshas Milumi B'Raisa Nosefes Al Torah Skanim. Moshe and Aaron went both into the Ol Moed. Lama Nichnas Moshe Im Aaron? So Rashi says, Lelamdo Al Maaseh HaKtores. In other words, why did they both go into the Ol Moed now? So one parish is, they went in, for Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Aaron about how to do the Ketores. Because the Ketores is an avodah that's inside. Right? On the Mizbeach HaZov. Mizbeach HaPnimi. Nachon?
But it's inside. Nobody else sees it.
True. Moshe Rabbeinu has to teach Aaron how to do it. So they both went inside. According to the first parish in Rashi, first explanation in Rashi, they said Moshe could teach him how to do the Ketores. Okay.
The Shina hasn't come yet.
Shina still hasn't come yet. Okay. That's the first parish in Rashi. Then he says, Devaracher, it's the bold there. Devaracher came to Shiro Aaron, Shikar Vakolam Kobanos, the Nasikol Amaisim. Aaron sees that he brought the Kobanos, and he did whatever deeds needs to be done. I'm not sure what deeds he's referring to, unless you say it's referring to the bracha that he gave to Jewish people.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to assume that, because I don't know what other maisim he needs to do. I guess there are some maisim, the place where they had to stay inside the Ol Moed. Okay, it could be a few things. But lo yor de Shechin Yisrael, and the Shechin still has not come down to the Jewish people. Hayim mitzayir. He was bothered.
Sorry.
He was mitzayir. He was suffering.
Trouble.
Yeah, trouble. Trouble, that's a better word. I'm starved. Oh my! Your day on Isha Kosh, I could have broke. Why? I know because broke was angry with me. Right? Ubishvili loyo the Shechina Yisrael, and because of me, the Shechina didn't come down. Once again, there's Aaron. Yeah, as they say in the Aish videos. What do you call it? No blaming, no complaining. Right? He's not blaming. He's not complaining. He takes responsibility. It's my fault. It's my fault. Amar lo l'Moshe, Moshe, achi, kach asisali. Look, you told me to come close. I knew I wasn't worthy. Shenichnasim nisvayashti miyad nichnas Moshe imo bichu rachamim v'yard ha'shchin l'Yisrael. What happened? So they, what do you call it? They were mispalel. They were mispalel. And then
Moshe
and Aaron. And then the Shechina came down. So there are two pirushim in Rashi. It's what the purpose of Moshe and Aaron both going into the Ol Moed was. One is for Moshe to teach Aaron how to do the Ketores, which was something which is done inside the Ol Moed. He hadn't gone into the Ol Moed yet with Moshe. He'd only seen what Moshe had done with the Korbanos the 7 days prior outside, but he hadn't gone in with him. Now he went in with him. Or the other parish is that they went into Davin because Aaron, as it were, said, you know, the Shechina is not coming. It's my fault. They went into Davin. And the Shechina is ready to come down to Klal Yisrael. Vayetzu vayevarchu es am, and they came out and they blessed the people. What blessing gives them this time? Rashi says, "Yeah, he said they said to him, Vinoam Hashem Elokeichem Aleichem, right? Made what do you call it? The Vinoam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, right? Aleinu." He says, "Yehiratun shetishra Shechina b'matzei deichem."
Who
says that Moshe and Aaron sounds out, right? It says, "Vayetu v'yivarchu es ha'am." They came out and they blessed them, and they said, "May the Shechina rest upon your what do you call it? Upon your hands, your handiwork." In other words, prepare yourself. The Shechina is now going to come. This blessing is once again. This is a blessing of. On the one hand, it shores up their spirits. On the other hand, it says, "Prepare yourself. The Shechina is now going to come upon you through your hands and the actions of your hands." Continues Rashi, Lafisha kol zayin yemei hamiluyim, shamidu Moshe l'mishkan, hamido Moshe l'mishkan, v'shimish bo pirko b'chol yom. All 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, took it down, put it up, took it down, and did all the service that was necessary for that day. Put it up, took it down, put it up, took it down, 7 days, right?
Why just leave it up?
It's part of the building of this new Jewish universe of Avoda. So this part of like the 7 days of creation, And now we enter into a whole new level of existence on the eighth day. So he takes it down, puts it up, right? And does the avoda, and he takes it down and starts again the next day. All this time, the Shekhinah didn't reveal itself to the Jewish people. What did Jewish people say? The Jewish people felt ashamed. They felt ashamed that the Shekhinah didn't come. All the 7 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing this. All the effort we went to bring the Mishkan and build the Mishkan, so we know that Hashem has forgiven us for the sin of the Egel, and we see it's all for naught. He hasn't forgiven us. It's our fault. Everybody's taking the blame. Aaron took the blame. Jewish people took the blame during the first 7 days. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Amalehem, ze adav asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. This is the thing you're going to do that Hashem commanded. V'hera aleichem kvod Hashem. That's the very first pasuk. Yeah, what Moshe Rabbeinu tells him. This is what you're going to do, and now Hashem is going to reveal Himself to you. And what does the Rashi say? Rashi continues. Aaron achi, Aaron my brother, kedai. The choshu mimeni, he is worthy and more important than I am. He's more choshu than I am.
Moshe said that.
Moshe Ben says that. Shayidei korbanosav, that through his korbanos vavodaso and through his avoda, tishre shechina b'chem, the shechina will rest upon you. So look what we had over here, right? Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, come and do this. Aaron is afraid to do it. He's embarrassed. He says, no, I'm not worthy. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you were chosen for this. All 7 days beforehand, the Jewish people see the Shekhinah is not coming down. They say, oy vey, we're not worthy of this. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that's not the problem. That's the problem is because Aaron hasn't started doing the avoda yet. When he does the avoda, he is more worthy than I am, and then the Shekhinah will be revealed to you. Meanwhile, comes what he calls the time. Aaron does it. Nothing happens. Aaron says, oh, I see you. I'm not worthy. First he says, maybe I need to shore up the Jewish people, gives them a bracha. He strengthens them. The Shekhinah still doesn't come down. He says to Moshe, you see, it's my fault. I blew it. Moshe Rabbeinu then says, come, let's go into the Ol Moed. Maybe we need to learn how to do the Ketores, because with the making of the Ketores, the Shekhinah will be revealed, but I need to teach you how to do it. Right? And there's one deed that needs to be done. It's not that there's something deficient. Or, let's go and daven. You hear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ol Moed.
Yeah. So now take a look-see. Yeah? Pasuk of Dalet. After they came out, right, they did the Ketores, Naniach, they prayed, according to the second parish, maybe they did both, grace, yeah. They came out, they said to the Jewish people, right, Yivinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, right, may God's pleasant be upon you, upon the actions of your hands, yeah, Masid, right, Masidinu Kono Aleinu, Masidinu Kono Neu. And then they said, Yiratzen Shetishra Shechinah B'Matzei Deichem, may it be Hashem's will, that the Shechinah should rest upon your handiwork, and bang, the Shechinah comes down. V'Ketzei Eish M'Lifnei Hashem, a fire descended from heaven. Nanir. Ketzei Eish M'Lifnei Hashem. Or from out of the Mishkan, Chveis. One place it says it came from the heaven. V'Ketzei Eish M'Lifnei Hashem, V'Tocho Awam Mizbech, Esa Olav, Esa Chalavim, V'Yar Kol Am, V'Yalono, V'Yitla Pneim. People saw this, they praised Hashem, they sang Shira, and they fell upon their faces in awe and fear. Right? The Shekhinah revealed Himself to them.
The fire.
Right. So they knew the Shekhinah revealed Himself to them. Said, so according to, let's say, if...
What did they do to the fire? Just float down or eat anything? Did it burn anything? Or it was like this fire floating around in the sky?
So the Gurarie on the Rashi there, he says, if it was the idea was that he had to learn how to do the Ketores, right? And there were two Perushim, why they went in. Right. So one parish is they daven. One parish is they he had to learn how to do the Torah. So
the
it appears.
Is the Yom Kippur?
Well, there was Torah that was done twice a day, on the Mizbeach Azov. Yom Kippur was done inside by the Aron HaKodesh. But here we're talking about on the Mizbeach Azov. So according to the opinion that what was missing was the Ketores, right? And that's what they needed in order for the Shechina to reveal itself to them. So says the Gurayim, if they ki al yedei aktores, should be fneem haya Shechina shor b'mikdash. L'figach chutzrich v'hakviv is the ol of achak achikter aktores, achak aktores, aktores, miyara yimavorach osam yirotam, vaz yirei ha'esh, kach yirei. So when it was, in other words, it needed the Ketores. Needed the Ketores to bring the Shechina. Again, either they came and went to Davin, right, please have Rachmanis, or they need to record to do the Ketores, because the Ketores was the last thing that was needed in order to be able to bring Hashras HaShechina. What's the godless of the Ketores? We've talked about this many times, that the Ketores shows the unity of the Jewish people. Because inside the Ketores, like it says in the next citation, that's from Shmos, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalet.
The Ketores shows the unity of people.
Right, because the Ketores has the chelban in it.
All the bad ingredients.
Right, even the bad ingredient that has a foul smell to it, nonetheless, when it's put in, it gives a great quality. Because it shows we pick everybody quality. There's the koach of the big people to pick up even the small people when they're ready, but they're not, you know, they've not been behaving up to snuff, and now the big people are going to pick them up, and it's what we call a Shalom Yisrael. Nachon? So that the concept of the aguda, of being attached together, that's the koach of the Torah. So what have we seen? We've seen there's a tremendous amount of humility going on over here. Aaron saying, I'm not worthy. The Jewish people are saying, they're not worthy. Moshe Rabbeinu saying, I'm not worthy enough to get the Shechina to appear. But he called my brother Aaron is more worthy, he'll get the Shechina to appear. Right? Then they bring the Torah. And the Shechina appears. Okay. Now, if you go to the next parak, beginning of the next parak, parak Yud, that's the bottom of the page there. Vayichu b'nei Aaron nadav aviyu ish machtaso, vayitnu b'hen eish v'yasim olek toras v'yakrivu l'fnei Hashem eish zara asher lo tziva osam v'teitze eish v'lifnei Hashem. Right? V'teitze eish v'lifnei Hashem. So Nadav Aviyu, they brought an Eish Zara, a strange fire. It appears they took Torahs. Vayikru Ish Machtaso, they took their fire pans. Vayisim like Torahs, they put Torahs upon it. Put Torahs upon it. I mean, it says it before. Vayikriv L'fnei Hashem Eish Zara, and they were makrivit before Hashem and Eish Zara, a strange fire. Shalotziva Hashem, Otziva Osa, Hashem Osam. And bang, fire came out from before Hashem and consumed them. Chazal say two tendrils of fire came out of the whole moid, went into their nostrils, and gave them a major cauterization.
That wasn't their job to offer the Ketores.
Right, they weren't doing Kometsu to do that. Vayomu Moshe al Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, who has Shadiva Hashem Lemor, Bekrovai Ekadesh, Valpnei Kolaam Ekaved, Vaidom Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, this is what Hashem said, and my close ones I will be sanctified, Valpnei Kolaam Ekaved, Vaidom Aaron. And upon all the people, record this will be a sign of Hashem's kavod, and Aaron was silent. So the Meshech Chachma, right, the Meshech Chachma says, Yashar Chochma says, he says, first of all, where's the Kiddush Hashem over here? Where's the Kiddush Hashem?
Of
yeah, with the fact that they got turned, you call burnt up. Right? Where's the Kiddush Hashem? So the Yashar Chochma says,
we discussed this before.
What?
There's a lesson that you can do with reasons why they got burnt up.
Right, I understand, of course, but he points out specifically that they thought that after, you know, they did a terrible sin, they did the Chet HaEgel, And then they went and they brought the stuff for the Mishkan, and they contributed to it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, you know, did his thing for 7 days. And Aaron, Aaron did his avodah on the eighth day, and the Shekhinah came back, and they figured, okay, you know, like you messed up, and you fixed it. You know, it's like, it's a cinch. It's true. I mean, it wasn't a cinch, but what do you call it? It's no problem. No problem. They were a little bit too familiar. A little too familiar. No, not to recall, but the Jewish people might have taken a more, you know, like it says, Kola Omer Vatranu. Right? For anybody who says about the Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's Mivater, right? He says, it's no sweat, it's you're okay, I'm okay, it's California, right? Like no problem, like I didn't really care anyway, right? God forbid. A person says that he is Mivater, as it were, is going to forego his life, right? Because he's messed himself over. So to make that point that that's not true, they did something wrong here. I'm not saying they weren't just cannon fodder. They did something wrong. But they became the device. They became the intermediary. They became the method through which the Jewish people learned. Don't take this casually. Serving Hashem is not the sort of thing, you know, you come up with some cockamamie idea, right? You can do whatever you want and God will understand. It's all okay. Don't take that approach. There are specific things to be done and things not to be done, and don't come along and think, I'll write my own medrash. I'll come up with my own idea. I'll come up with my own view of things. You know, and of course Hashem will say, oh, don't sweat it, bubby. But he'll go, you're okay, I'm okay. You know, as long as you really call your heart is in the right place, yeah, right, not below your kidneys, then you're okay. So you can get away with anything. You can't get away with anything. Again, they're not cannon fodder because they did something wrong, but they became the methodology of creating this Kiddush Hashem.
Like I heard on one of the tapes, it said, this is serious business.
Right, serious business. Okay. Serious business. Then continues the Meshech Chochma, and he says, brings a Medrash. Medrash in Vayakil, it says, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov, Hayer Shmosan Shel Chananya Mishol Vazaria Mishemen Amishcha, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. It's better a good name than good oil.
Referring to what?
Referring to the contrast between Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those who were willing to descend into the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, in order to show, right, that they're willing to die for Hashem's name, because the Jewish people at that point had totally messed up their claim to fame in the eyes of the world, because everyone had bowed down to the Avodah Zarah of Nebuchadnezzar, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were not. You know, they could have run away, right? But they wanted to sanctify Hashem's name in the midst of the Jewish people and wanted to save the Jewish people. It was totally, self-sacrificial for the sake of the Jewish people. Sacrificial for the sake of the Jewish people. They wanted the Jewish people to learn this lesson. That one, right? They wanted the Jewish people to learn that lesson, and they're willing to give their lives to the Jewish people to learn that lesson. It was total self-sacrifice for the sake of the Jewish people. So it's the sake of the Jewish people.
Self-sacrifice, what was the object?
To teach the Jewish people that you cannot bow down to the pestle of Nebuchadnezzar, even if it costs your life. And they did it. And they were saved. Tov Shem. The shame, the mitzvah of their self-sacrifice was better, had more kiyum than shemen tov, than the holy oil that the son, that Nadav Avihu were anointed with, that didn't save them. When they came and sacrificed, the ketores, the incense, there was no tzivui on, right? They also wanted to show something to the Jewish people. They wanted to show how close, perhaps, the Hashem was to the Jewish people, but there was no tzivui to it. So they got roasted, and Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, they were in a place of life. You know, none of Aviyah were in a place of life. The Mishkan, it was the happiest day. It was like the you know, like it says, "Sen rena b'no tziyum amel shlomo batar she'itrolo imo b'yom chasun aso b'yom simchas libo." On the day of your marriage, that's matatov b'yom simchas libo, the day of rejoicing in your heart, that's the shmini l'miluyim, the eighth day, the inauguration, Hashem's causing the shechin to dwell amongst the Jewish people. There couldn't be a more rejoiceful day, but
at the same time,
right? They got toasted. They died. They died.
Is that comparable to the guy who collected the wood on Shabbos?
No, because his intention was, he did an Aveira Lishma. He knew he was going to get punished. It was wrong, right? But he knew he was going to get punished. Yeah. They thought, you can do what you want. And there's nobody caught. We want to show the closeness of Hashem to the Jewish people. I mean, the Meshech Chochma says they wanted to show that you could even bring the Ketores on the outside Mizbeach. Because of the incredible closeness of Hashem to the Jewish people. Again, it's a very lovely idea, but you're playing with fire here. You can't just go do anything you want. Unless Hashem shows the direction of your spontaneity, right, as it were. So that's wonderful. But you're just going to come up and say, I'm going to make you spontaneous. And that's what God wants. Don't tell God what He wants, right? There's a very fine line between, a person not just going through the motions, like dead wood and being excited, et cetera, in mitzvos, and his going over the line of that and saying it's spontaneous, causing him to do things that he thinks are right, even though it doesn't know Hashem that wants him to do them. And it says Hashem will agree to me afterwards.
How many times did David HaMelech offer altars? He built his own altar to Hashem.
I'm not sure I understand.
But David built his own altar to
Hashem. Say that was what he called. At that time, it was permissible to build what he called. Take korbanos outside before the Beis Hamikdash. After the Beis Hamikdash, you can't. Again, this over here is it's very spontaneous. It's lovely, etc. But Hashem, there's no tzivui on it. So this is as you said. This is serious business. This is serious business. You just don't go, okay, I got an idea. Let's do it. This is part of some of the issue that plagues the Jewish people nowadays. There's like a whole trend, Well, it's a great idea. Let's do it. I'm sure Hashem will want it. Hello?
Right.
Again, there's a line. There's a line between just going formally through what he calls. There's no reason to erase spontaneity from a person's what he calls avoda. You don't erase spontaneity from a person's avoda, but
right.
Just because he's doing what Hashem told him to do. You should do it with simcha, do it with excitement, etc. Right? But when you come and make up your own thing, so then we got a problem. So he says a very fascinating thing. The Meshech Chochma. He says they also want to teach the Jewish people. It wasn't like it was totally they wanted to give over this idea to the Jewish people, how close Hashem is to us, etc. But there's no tzivui, and that's why they died. He says a very interesting thing. He says, right, so the lesson, again, the lesson of Hanani Mishael Vazaria was a greater lesson. It was a lesson that taught how close Hashem is. Because they were willing to do the tzivui of Hashem. The tzivui of Hashem is v'chol nafshecha. To be willing to die rather than to what he called the
tzivui at the time of Azariah was that a person should put his life rather than
down. Right, so they followed the precepts of Hashem, and they showed the incredible glory of Hashem and the closeness that Hashem has to the Jewish people. Right, by doing the tzivui. Because he saved them. He saved them. They walked into the fiery furnace, he walked out unscathed. Whereas, not of Aviu, they want to show the closeness of Hashem by fabricating their own Sivui. And they died. So they did wind up teaching the people the fear of Hashem, not of his greatness, his loftiness, but of Yiras HaOnesh, right? The fear of not doing that which is incorrect, and God forbid being liable to punishment. So they both taught things, right? And it's what they wanted to teach, they didn't accomplish. They taught instead Yiras HaOnesh. And the Rikwat and Hanani Mishael Vazaria, who only wanted to show that a person has to be completely committed to Hashem's mitzvos, wound up showing Hashem's closeness, says the Meshech Chochma. And he says, he compares it so fascinatingly. He compares it to a nursemaid and a mother. A nursemaid also suckles the young. But the nursemaid eats whatever she wants. She eats whatever she wants. Whatever she enjoys. Even if it might be difficult in the milk for the child, right? But that's not an issue, because she's going to eat what she wants. It's more egocentric. She'll eat the garlic bread, she'll eat the this, she'll eat the eggplant, even though...
Nursemaid?
A nursemaid. A wet nurse. Wet nurse. Yeah, what do you call it? Like a...
Eating what you want.
Right. I mean, I understand what I'm talking about. What do you call it? They would hire people to nurse them. So she's going to eat what she wants. Because she's not committed, what do you call it, so much to the, what do you call it, to the child. She's got a job to do. So she's going to produce milk. Oh, the milk may not be the most pleasant milk. No. Okay. But her agenda is there.
Yeah. Produce milk.
Right. So she wants to give to the baby. But her own personal agenda supersedes what she wants to give to the baby. Yeah. But the, what do you call it, says the Meshech Chachma, but a mother, she'll curtail what she eats because she doesn't want to give the baby indigestion. He says that's two different forms, as it were, of Jewish leadership. Both of them want to give over to the Jewish people. Both want to teach a lesson to the Jewish people, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and Nadav Avihu. But Nadav Avihu, right, they're doing it on their terms. This is what they think. This is what they think. And they want to communicate to the Jewish people. So when their ego gets in the way, right, they made a mistake. They did the wrong thing. As opposed to Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, they're willing to die. Your ego doesn't get away if you want to die. If you're willing to die. It was totally self-sacrificing. They taught the greater lesson. Tov Shem, Mishem and Tov. Greater is, yeah, right? The name of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah is associated with their willingness to do mitzvos, to be committed to mitzvos. Right? It's fragrance. It gives a greater fragrance than the Shem and Tov, than even the unlocked oil of fragrance of the Kohanim. Very interesting. Just wanted to conclude with one thing, yeah, and that is the Yalkut says, you know, well, what's his name? I think Mordechai Ben David. Mordechai Ben David has a song. Yeah, I think he has a song. Right? I think he's the one singing. I mean, I know the song. Anavim, Anavim. You ever hear it? Yeah. Bishash Melech HaMashiach Bo. Bishash Melech HaMashiach Bo. When the time when Mashiach comes, Omer Al Gagag Beis HaMikdash. He'll stand on top of the Beis HaMikdash. And he mashmir Yisrael, and he says to the Jewish people, Vomen, he says to them, Anavim, Anavim. Humble ones, humble ones. Higi Azman. The time has come. Right? The time has come for the Gula. Higi Azman Gulaschem. V'im ein atem aminim, if you don't believe it, Ru'u be'ori shezorach aleichem. See my light as it shines upon you. Right? See my light as it shines upon you.
Who's saying this? Mark of
Benin? No. Sheer. See, that's a song, but it's from a medrash. It's a medrash in Merikon Yishayah, in the Yalkut. That's the Yalkut in Perek Samach in Yeshaya. Shonu Rabosenu b'shar shemelach haMashiach ba omer al gag beis hamikdash u'mashmi alhem liYisrael v'omer anovim higi azman gulaschem. Humble ones, the time has come for your redemption. V'im enatem aminim, if you don't believe, ru'u be'ori shezorach aleichem, look at the light, right, that shines upon you, shezorach aleichem. Shneimer kumi ori ki va'orech. You rise and shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. Why don't they believe? Why don't the Jewish people believe the time of the Gula has come? Because they're anovim. Because they always assume.
Why don't they believe that?
Why don't they believe that the time of the Gula has come? He says, "Request im einatem ma'amin." If you don't believe the time of the Gula has come, why won't they believe? Because
I don't understand the question. Why aren't they not believing the Gula will come?
Not will come. They don't, what do you call it? They don't believe that the Gula has come. Mashiach is standing on top of the Beis HaMikdash. Kav Yochel. And he's saying, what do you call it? Humble ones. That your Gula has come. And the Jewish people don't believe it.
Okay.
Right? He calls them anovim. Humble ones. Why? Because, do we deserve it? That's what an anov is, right? That's what we saw the whole way here. Jewish people said, no Shechina. Why? Do I deserve it? Right? Aaron says, it's not working. You know why? Do I deserve it? Moshe Rabbeinu says, it didn't come from me because it's going to come from my brother. Why? Because he's greater than I am. Right? Doesn't come down. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron says, I told you I don't deserve it, etc. So that's the nature. Recall, that's
and
the
when
first...
when Mashiach comes, people are going to say, we don't believe you?
We don't believe that we deserve it. So he says, look at my light that's shining for you and then you'll know it's true. Then you'll see things clearly.
Who's light? When Mashiach
comes? Mashiach comes, he'll bring a light, and nobody called. When the Jewish people realize they see things through the light of Mashiach differently, they'll realize, it's come. Now we do deserve it. Now we do deserve it. But the whole path is paved with stones of...
doubt.
Not doubt. What do you call it? Self-effacement.
False humility.
But not false humility.
Why?
Not false, real humility. Why false?
They don't feel they deserve it. That's real humility.
Okay.
And why false?
Why give credit when credit's not due?
Ooh, that hurts.
See, guys, it's like sonnets. We call why false, real humility. That's what it, an anav. I once heard from Moshe Zechatak Levrachav that an anav, like an ani, he always feels like he owes. Right? He never feels like he's entitled. He always feels like he owes. That's what an anav is. Just like an ani. A poor person, he has nothing. What do I have? An anav, someone who's humble, right? Maybe by us it's false. Okay, so that's what he called. That's a separate story. But there's no reason for you to project upon me my problems.
No.
But what do you call
I don't want to project me.
Okay, whatever.
I don't want to project my problems.
Okay, fine. We'll finish with the primal scheme therapy afterwards. But what do you call? But you hear what I'm saying? Real anavim always feel that they owe. And if there's something
they
wrong.
They owe Hashem.
Who am I? What did I do? What did I deserve? Again, it doesn't cripple them. Look at Aaron, right? He's full of humility. It's not like he has no self concept. He's just sitting there, huddled in a corner, talking to himself, etc. He's always trying to give them, help them, empower them, etc. But bottom line, he never feels like he's entitled. He's not consumed by his ego. And that brings the Shechina, and that brings the Gula. So you gotta do the mitzvos, right? You gotta empower other people, and not feel a sense of entitlement. Magiali. I deserve. And then the Shechina comes. I think this is 1,000% true. 1,000% true. And there are a lot of lessons to learn from this, both in terms of our own personal conduct and in terms of identifying true Jewish leadership, right? I think it's very, very true. Okay.
Arrogance like the plague.
Right. Okay.
Any plague.
Good job.
Shabbos.